Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So the Centers for Disease Control said last week that you don't have to wear a mask anymore if you've been vaccinated. That caught everyone by surprise from the White House on down. And you still do have to wear them on airplanes and pretty much wherever else they're still mandated. But states immediately responded by lifting their mask mandates, even though, of course, no one can tell if you've been vaccinated or not. And the whole country is on the honor system. So what's going on locally? And I'll point out, by the way, that we're recording this early in the week and things may change. Danny?
Yeah, well, on Tuesday, Douglas County said that fully vaccinated people can resume activities without wearing a mask in line with the CDC guidance. And so basically, in a year where more than 4,000 people tested positive for COVID-19 in the county and 39 people have died, now we're starting to return to some normalcy. Although they do note, like as you said, that, you know, mask wearing or physical distancing may be required in some locations or businesses. And so they want people to adhere to that guidance, but also noting at the same time that scientists agree that the vaccine protects against transmission and hospitalization and death from the disease. So now a lot of communities, likely they will lift their mask resolution, highly unlikely that they would keep it in place.
Brooks, on the Minnesota side, I imagine a lot of that is the same there.
Yeah, last week, Governor Walz was quick to move toward ending the statewide mask mandate, which then left a patchwork of local rules in place. Duluth had its mask mandate in place before the state issued one last summer. So what we saw was, again, a quick action trickling down from federal to state to local. The city council is poised to officially repeal the Duluth mask mandates on Monday. But for now, the mayor has already said, no, we're not enforcing it. And it's up to businesses to decide for themselves what they want to do. And already that has created some taking down signs and some keeping them up. So the best action right now is to keep a mask in your pocket or in your car, because some businesses are going to continue to require them. That could continue for weeks to come. But as on the other side of the border, yes, it is patchwork, and it is moving away from the mask mandate and toward voluntary masking.
All right. Well, now that we are in what we hope are the closing days of the pandemic, are people heading back to work in a physical space, and particularly in downtown Duluth?
Well, you know, I'm talking to you from my office in downtown Duluth, and I'll say it looks a lot busier than it was even a month ago. A recent survey from the Greater Downtown Council of Duluth said, found that 80% of businesses are going to allow more flexibility, although more than half will expect workers in the office at least 3 days a week, which has to be good news for some businesses downtown that need that foot traffic, restaurants and the like. You know, there's sort of a mix right now as we're in this transition period, just like with masks. You know, we've got hundreds of workers who are typically stationed at Minnesota Power's downtown office. Most of them have worked remotely since the beginning of the pandemic. In June, more of them will be given the option to return. And then, August, September is when the more hybrid model will begin. So I think this work from home, while not completely permanent, will continue to be a trend.
All right. Well, what if we don't want to go downtown, but just get out of here and head for the border, specifically the Canadian one? Can we get across it yet?
No, get ready to get turned around if you do make it all the way to the border, because as of now and for the foreseeable future, non-essential travel into Canada remains extremely limited. You have to have a very good reason to cross the border. And that's leaving a lot of families separated. That's leaving, businesses who count on that cross-border travel looking for that lost revenue, and it's even keeping some frustrations alive, of course, in the northwest angle. I talked to a resort owner this week who said, people are just frustrated. They've absolutely had it. And the latest update we have on the border is that Canadian officials are beginning talks about the reopening, which is one step of many toward the actual reopening, because Canada right now is in a massive, major lockdown due to a COVID surge there. So most folks think that, you know, we're not going to bounce quickly from lockdown to border reopening, but there should be some hope that by later this summer, again, is the hope, no guarantee, that that border should be less restrictive.
Okay. Well, Danny, so maybe we won't head to Canada and just stay in our local waters. But if we're hanging around Howard's Bay and Superior, we might run into some activity?
Yeah. Recently, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency began dredging contaminated sediments from Howard's Bay, which is part of the St. Louis River Area of Concern, one of 43 sites on the Great Lakes considered the most polluted hotspots on the lakes. And so this is a milestone in the cleanup of the St. Louis River Area of Concern in Superior. They're going to dredge approximately 75,000 cubic yards of contaminated sediment. That sediment has things in it like metals, like lead and mercury and some words I don't even know how to pronounce. Basically, it's all from fossil fuels like coal, gasoline, and oil. And so they're going to be taking that out. It's going to cost at least $12 million to clean up. And that is already underway.
All right. Well, once we get the dredging figured out, how about the ice? Is there a chance we could get year-round shipping?
It's a possibility that researchers at UW-Superior are going to be studying over the next year. Richard Stewart, who is the director of the Transportation and Logistics Research Center at UWS, is going to be taking a look at this along with Daniel Rust. And this is all because we've seen, reduced ice cover on the Great Lakes. The Great Lakes as a whole are seeing 5% decline in their annual maximum ice cover each decade. And that's actually even more than that in Lake Superior. And so they're going to look at cargo movements on the lakes and coming up with these models, looking at three main cargoes, taconite, coal, and limestone, and the potential operational or economic impacts if the shipping season were extended by anywhere from 20 days to 50 days. And so this is something that they're going to be looking at to try and get an idea of whether or not there might be some potential benefits or setbacks of a potential year-round shipping season.
All right. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/North Report. And be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Next week,
for a few stolen hours, you'll be all right.
It's a return visit with Bill and Kate Isles, or Kate and Bill Isles, if you prefer.
My hobo's sleeping in the roundhouse tonight.
We'll hear what the singer-songwriter duo is up to after 60 straight weeks of online concerts. That's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of One Less Guest, and even if you don't have to wear your mask, stay safe, everyone.
Maybe someday things will go our way. Until then, my heart.